All right. Let me get this a little closer, you guys. All right. You guys look around a little bit. Look at who's here. You see everybody? Do you know you're it? That you're God's best. He chose you. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? He chose you. And you say, well, I'm not this, I'm not. Stop. He chose you. And you're here. Others are not, and that's okay. They've got places to be, but you're here. He chose you. You're the best God's got. He didn't want nobody else. He wanted you. Somebody needed that tonight, right? They're telling you, you're it. So whatever that means to you, maybe you need to step up and serve somewhere or do something that God's called you to do. That's your challenge. So we're going to talk about family. And family can be a touchy situation, a touchy thing to teach about. But everybody's in a family. Everybody. You're part of a family. You know, if you were in some strange situation where all your family members have passed away, you're still in a family because you're in God's family, right? And God's provided that for us. So just think about the different aspects of a family. You've got sons and daughters, husbands and wives. You've got cousins and uncles and aunts and all these different, even in-laws, I mean, they're part of the family. When two get married, you know, you're not just marrying your spouse, you're actually marrying that family. You need to think about that because you are joining into that family. And, you know, so I know people have trouble and, my mother-in-law this and that, we have all our jokes and everything, but, you know, there can be great benefit from two families joining together. And marriage, and we're not necessarily going to talk about marriage tonight, but marriage is a business contract, guys. It's a business contract. Yeah. And when two people come together and they do it the right way, and those two families bring things to the table that increase that family, they make that family, you know, more powerful, maybe richer, have a greater influence, things like that. And that's, I mean, that should be the goal of our families as we're coming together, as our sons and daughters are getting married and things. We want increase, right? We want synergy and things like that to happen for the kingdom. But here's the deal. You've received an anointing to fulfill your role in your family, whatever that might be. You know, you may be the in-law, but you have an anointing to fulfill that role and to do your part. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. See, you've been given a grace, an anointing. You've been empowered to, in that family, to fulfill that role. And to have, you have a purpose and a destiny in that role. And when you're not fulfilling that purpose and destiny in that role, there can be a void in that family, right? Even here at church, when you're not here, it's a void. You know, we all matter to each other. We all have purpose and destiny. And when you're not here, there could be a void there that we need to fill. And you're the only one that fits that, right? Because God's given you a specific grace and anointing to do what you do, right? Even in our immediate families, it's no accident that Satan's attacking the family. He knows, right? And I'm convinced that Satan isn't that smart. That's just me. I think he's pretty dumb, personally. So if he's not that smart and he sees it, you know we all see it. Right? We all know that, and we're all fighting for our families, right? And he's going to lose. He's already lost. So we need to be fighting for our families because he's after them. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace. Now, The question always comes up, what's grace? And I guarantee you, if we were to blanket Brownwood, what's grace, we would probably get one answer more than other, and it's unmerited favor. And I'm sorry, but I can't swallow that. I believe that a little bit of favor is involved in grace, but grace is God's power, his strength, and his ability working in and through you. It's the empowerment of heaven. Grace is what we receive unmerited to empower us to walk out this Christian life. So here, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace. Every form of grace. What do you need empowerment to do and to be? God has that available for you, and he's ready to give that to you. So that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with the abundance in every good thing you do. Being in a family takes grace. It takes grace to be a mom. It takes grace to be a dad. Listen, sometimes it takes grace to be a child. They just need grace. You know, hello? Have y'all, anybody raised a kid in here? My daughter has grace. She has to have grace because if she don't have the grace of God in her, she's not going to be empowered to do the right thing. And I guarantee you, as a child, she's going to go the wrong way, especially as headstrong and things are. And we're pouring grace into her, and we're empowered to steer her the right way. But God's empowering her to be who she needs to be. And we have to train her and teach her, and we're going to get to that here in a minute. So all of us are part of a family. All of us are in a family, and we have a specific role, and you've been anointed and graced, if you will, to fulfill that role and to do it well. To do it well. The opportunity is there. And the deal is we have to be faithful with what we've been given. Yeah. We have to be faithful with what we've been given. So you've been given a family and you've been given a role in that family. You need to be faithful with what you've been given. Matthew chapter 25. We have a very, very familiar story. It's the story of the talents. The story of the talents. Love technology. Look at this. I'm going to go right to it. Matthew 25. Now in Matthew 25, Jesus starts telling this story. And he's telling the story about a man. I think he was a rich man. He owned things. He had money. And he's leaving his servants in charge, and he's given them money. It calls them talents. He's given them money to invest. He's given them money so that they'll have something so that when he's gone, they can do something just besides sitting there and doing nothing. Right? Starting in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another one, to each, listen to this, to each according to his own ability. Yeah. Each according to his own ability. See, some of us, I think we get this idea that we can't really deliver and do what God's called us to do. He has not asked you to do anything that you can't accomplish. The deal is, the question is, are you doing it in your own strength? Or are you using the grace that he gave you? Because the grace will empower you to get done what he's called you to do, right? So what he's done, if you get this picture, I mean, it's a natural picture, but he's talking about spiritual things. He has graced his servants. He's empowered them. And then he says, now go do my business. Take care of my stuff. Well, what does God do with us? He puts grace on us. He empowers us and then says, go take care of my kingdom, right? That's what he's telling these guys to do. And you know the story. He comes back, and the one who was given five, he said, hey, I took your talents and I invested it, and now I have 10. And he's like, man, you're awesome. Great job. Next one, he had, two or three. And he said, hey, I took mine and I invested it and did some things, and now I have more to show, and I've doubled your investment. He's like, awesome, you've done great. Thank you, good servant. And then the last one, what? He has his one, and he says, well, I knew you were a pretty hard man. I knew that, you know, you reap where you hadn't sown and things like that. And so I was afraid, so I buried it. And when you come back here, here's what you gave me. And he says, you wicked and evil servant. Called him wicked and evil. Woo. That, interesting. Let's go down here to the bottom of this. This is where he gets this. He says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Yeah. Well, that won't fly in the world today. Go tell the government to operate like that. That ain't going to work. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. It'll be gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, let's think about this a little bit. You, as a member of your family, have been graced to be that member and fulfill that role to the glory of God. But what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? How can we be faithful in our families with what we've been given? Get training. You think about it, it's development. How many of you guys just got married and knew how to raise a family? Anybody? I didn't. Nobody did. But you've been graced, and here's the deal, you've been given a grace, you've been given an ability to be that husband, that wife, that whatever it is, but you have to develop it. See, sometimes we think that God just gives us something and we say, hey, okay, thank you, I got it, I'm good. No, it's kind of like, you watch some of these movies, even like Star Wars, love Star Wars. Some of the lightsaber battles, you know, they got the laser swords and they're fighting and it's incredible, the moves and things to do. Well, they're really doing that. They don't really have lights or laser swords, but they choreograph, they train, and they learn how to do that. They didn't just wake up one day and know how to wield a sword. You know? It's the same thing with us. Just because you've been given a sword don't mean you know how to use it. You got to train. You got to learn how to use the sword. You got to learn how to use the weapon. You got to learn how to use the grace that has been given to you. And it takes time. Right? It takes time. You have to get training. Teach and train. Here's the deal. Once you've received training, you need to turn around and teach someone. Yes? You need to teach what you've been taught. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. Teach others to teach others. He says, I've committed these things to faithful men so that they can teach others. And those they can teach others and they can teach others, right? TV and video games are not very good training tools. They're just not. This little guy right here, they have proven this is addicting. This is as addicting as cocaine or heroin. Did you know that? It actually releases a chemical in your brain called dopamine. Same thing you get when you do gambling and things like that and take risk and get this thrill. And they figured out that people are becoming addicted to this. They can't put it down. That's scary. They can't communicate without their phone. And what's happening now is our kids are getting a hold of them. And we say, hey, when my kid's on this, oh, he's quiet and he doesn't move. Yeah, but what you're doing is you're opening the liquor cabinet for him and saying, take a drink. And we want iPads and TV to train our kids while we're doing what we're doing, and that's dangerous. Now, these things aren't necessarily bad, right? It's amoral. It's not good or bad. It's how you use it. But a lot of us have allowed our kids to be trained and raised by these, and they know this better than they know you, and that's dangerous, right? We're the ones that are supposed to be teaching and training. We're the ones that's supposed to be putting the word in them, right? Not a device, not a phone. And we have to be careful with that. Scripture says, Proverbs 22:6, and y'all know this one, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train is the key word. I would propose that in our society today, our parents have lost the ability to train. They don't train anymore. And my suspicion is that they weren't trained. So it's kind of like they don't know how by default, because they weren't trained. And it could go back generation upon generation of not training. And then you have a kid that's unruly. Right? You have a kid that you can't control. You have a kid that won't get off his phone. You have a kid that won't listen. Right? And what does it do? It disrupts the family. Disrupts the family. I'm telling you, the enemy may be dumb, but he's smart enough to use one of these. Right? He's smart enough. So here's the deal. We've got to get training, but we've got to get it from the right place, and we've got to do it the right way. I can tell you right now, when I was in church as a kid, they never talked about the family. You don't tell me how to raise my kid. You don't tell me how to conduct my family. But wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be teaching and training how? We're supposed to. But that was taboo. You didn't talk about that. You talked about how to get born again. That was it. When you get born again, you'll figure it out. Right? And that's not true. That is not true. Listen, you need training. You need the Word of God. And I tell you right now, you can get online. You can download. Dwayne has probably hundreds, if not thousands of hours teaching us how to raise our kids, teaching us how to have healthy families, teaching us how to be good husbands and wives, teaching us. So we need to take those things and let them train us, right? We need to, every opportunity we can to get training, we need to do that so that we can be better. We need to have better and stronger families more than ever, more than ever. Do you know just the normal family, husband and wife and kids, is people are like, that's weird. Why is that? Why is that? Our world is getting turned upside down in a bad way. Yeah. Right? And the church doesn't need to look like them. We need to say, no, this is the right model. Healthy families. Families that get along. Families that are full of peace. Families that are in unity. So training is so important, guys. Train up your child. Train. Proverbs 4, 5 and 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will, listen to this, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So you have an anointing. You've been anointed, but you need wisdom to know how to develop that anointing so that you can fulfill that role, whatever that is, in the family and be that best family member that you can be. James 1 through 5, we've heard this. If anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. That's pretty cool. Just ask. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Right? God's not holding back. He's pouring his grace on us, and he's giving us everything that we need to be successful for whatever role that might be, whatever role that might be. And you know, when we were married and I wasn't a dad, I didn't have grace to be a dad. But when little Seth hit the ground, guess what I received from God? Grace to be a dad. Then guess what I had to do? I had to start developing it. And guess what? I'm still developing it, because there's days that I'm like, man, I missed that one. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom on how to raise this boy properly. Right? All right. Let's look at here. Titus chapter 2, 1-8. This is out of the Message. Your job is to speak out on the things that make for solid doctrine. Guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom, into health, faith, love, and endurance. Guide older women into lives of reverence, so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, and be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, guide the young men to live disciplined lives. But mostly, show them all this by doing it yourself, incorruptible in your teaching, your words solid and sane. Then anyone who is dead set against us, when he finds nothing weird or misguided, might eventually come around. Yeah? Do you know what draws people to the Lord? When they see your family and it's messed up, then all of a sudden things start falling in line. Peace comes to that family. And they're like, well, what's going on? What do you got that I don't got? And you say, well, the Lord got a hold of us, right? Some people just need to surrender and say, we're all in. Good families. And I know our families all look different. That's fine. But when God's ruling that home and that family, it draws people. And you got people looking in and saying, why would I want to live like that? Why would I want what you have? Chaos, you know, craziness. Yeah. It's I'm not being rude. I'm just telling you. That's where people's like, I have that now. Right? We want to show them restoration. We want to show them what the hand of the Lord can do. Right? That's why it's important that our families are strong and healthy. Right? And when our families do have problems, you know what? They're sitting back and watching. And when they see the Lord come in and restore and make new, they're like, wow, this really is something. This is truth. Right? And I'm telling you, God will use you to bring peace to your family. God will use you to bring restoration to your family. Why? Because you have that anointing to do that. You have that grace to do that. You may be the peacemaker in your family. You might be. And here it talks about the older people teaching the younger ones how to do things. Listen, guys. We're not picking on you when we call you old. We need you. I have a marriage life group, and we have people in there that are right around 30 years married, and then we have some people that are 40 years and on and married. And I tell them, people all the time, please share with us, how did you make it this far? How did you do this? Right? And I want to sit at their feet and have them teach us how to hold our marriage together, how to do our marriage the right way. It's the same thing in family and church. We need you guys. We need y'all to be instructing us and teaching us and telling us how to love our wives, how for the wives to love the husband, how to raise the children properly, how to speak to our children, so forth. And here's the deal, guys. We need to set up our children for success. We need to make it easy on them. Now, I want to qualify this. Look at this scripture. This is one that we've heard a lot. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. We usually stop right there. If you don't honor me, son, your life's going to be cut short. Yeah, but did you read the other verse? It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here's the deal, guys. We have to give our kids something to honor. And sometimes we think, well, I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, you have to honor me. Yes, you need to honor them, but let's make it easy for them. Let's give them something to honor. Let's give them something to be, that's my dad, that's my mom, right? So that it's easy for them to honor us because we're doing what's right in the eyes of God. No matter where we're at, no matter what situation, no matter, you know, single parent, whatever this world has thrown at you, that doesn't matter. You can be the best mom, the best dad. You can do everything that the Lord, you can be take that anointing and just walk in that, and your kids will honor you. They will love you, and you make it easy for them. And then guess what? They prosper because of what you've done and what you've sowed and how you've walked that out. Just something to think about. Do you know how hard it is? And we've 22 years of ministry, how hard it is and how heartbreaking for kids to come to you and explain their family situation. And you're like, but you need to honor your parents. Well, how can I honor that? That's hard. How do you explain that to, it's difficult, and we've had to walk through those things. We've had to walk through them even personally in our own lives with certain situations and things that have come up. Let's do our very best to give our kids something to honor, and let's make it as easy as possible for them, because we want our kids, and we want them to be successful, and we want them to prosper. We just want them to prosper. I think this is extremely important. One of the things that, at my house, it was this way, and I'll look back on it, it's such a blessing, but we had a house of peace. Our families need to be a place of refuge, of safety, and that a place that you can go no matter what's happening at school, no matter what's happening at work, that you can come home and there's peace and safety. Right? That's a good thing. And that's why Satan, I think, attacks that a lot of times, because people come home and there's unrest in the family, and they come home and they never get rest, really. Because then they come home and they're like, oh, you know, no peace, no peace. So us that know the Lord, us that have that anointing, guys, I believe that we're anointed to create a house of peace. We can come in and create that peace and bring that peace. And the key, guys, one of the keys to that is unity. It's unity, right? When a family's in unity, when the kids know what the mom and dad are doing and what they're about, it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Unity. Psalm 133, we use this verse a lot too. It's a good verse. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. Me and my brother, for the most part, had some unity, but we had some fights too. But most of the time, it's pretty good, right? Most of the time. I say that most of the time. But there was still peace in the home. It says, it's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon the beard and running down all the way to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony, heavenly peace, right? Refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life evermore. One scripture says that God commands a blessing. You want God to bless your home? Make it a home of unity and peace. Unity and peace. And it says God will command a blessing on that family. Command a blessing on that family. I think that is very important. Very important. You know, and if you live in a situation that's not peaceful, guess what? I believe tonight, I believe that you are anointed to bring peace. That you can do it. That you can be the one that can be the peacemaker. You're the one that can initiate that blessing. Right? All right, let's look at a couple more things here. Colossians chapter 3 says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable. That right there would solve a lot of problems. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his body, and always be thankful. God has called you to peace. He's equipped you to do that. And I'm telling you right here, this scripture right here, this is the way we're to act in our families. Unoffendable, humble, forgive. Because here's the deal, you're gonna mess people up. You're just gonna do some things that rub some people wrong in your family. You need to be quick to forgive them. You need to get to the point where you're unoffendable. Unoffendable. One of the things of the signs of the last day says that people will be easily offended. I don't want to fall in that category. House of peace. Forgiving one another. And what will happen in that family? It'll be strengthened. It'll have peace in the home. And if there are children in that home, you'll give them a great opportunity. Make it easy for them to honor the mother and the father. So as we wrap it up tonight, you know, I just got to say this. You know, I've heard my whole life that the people that can hurt you the most are the people that are the closest to you. Y'all heard that? I've heard that. They're the people that can push your buttons. The scripture says, love takes no records of wrong. Love is patient. Love is kind. Think about that. You're saying the people that get under your skin the most are the people that you're supposed to love the most. But really what you're saying is, I don't love you, I need you. Think about it. That's really what you're saying. Because you did me wrong, so my day goes wrong. That's not love. Part of us loving is being unoffendable. Right? Because something that we do as a people, we have to be careful with this. What we do is we cry because people hurt us. Instead of cry, but because they hurt us. You know, it's like, I'm crying because you're hurting me because you don't know who you are. You're hurting me because you're out of character. But we get personally offended. You put that on Jesus and you show me Jesus doing that. Oh, you offended me. Peter, oh. You know, the three that he had that were real close to him. Oh, you just pushed my buttons. I'm just always around you guys. You know, get a little attitude with them. He didn't do that, did he? He was patient, kind, unoffendable. And it may be work for us to get there. We have to develop that. But you really think about that. And I know people say, oh, well, you don't know my husband. You know, you need to spend some time with Jesus. You need to put Jesus on every day. Put him on, right? Because love takes no records of wrongs. And if somebody is getting on your nerves, you need to get new nerves. Yeah? And if somebody's getting on your nerves, that's what you need to do. See, love is patient. We always say, I want more patience. No, you need more love. Because love is patient. Right? And if you're getting irritated with each other, Just think about it, right? We are the only being that can think about what we're thinking about. You can stop and examine what you're thinking about and say, okay, the reason I'm acting this way is because I'm letting them get under my skin, and that means I'm using them to make me happy. Yeah. Think about it. Because what is your one goal? And what are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be love. You're supposed to become love. Like Christ was love. See, we get this idea that we need. That's not, no. We give. We are. We become who he says we are. Christ lives in you, right? We're supposed to be like him. God is what? Love. So guess what you're supposed to be? Love, right? And it's okay because we constantly live a life of repentance. Constantly. In the family, when we're bickering and everything, well, hang on. Hang on, what's going on here? Right? I'm using you to make me feel better. I'm using you to make my day go better. And because you didn't do what I wanted you to do, now I'm bent out of shape. That's not love. Amen. That's selfishness. Right? Right? And that's one way we can make strengthen those families is I'm unoffendable. And somebody snaps at you and you think, you know what? That's not you. Something's going on. How is your day? And then you get to the root of the problem, right? Oh, well, the day, and then, so you're really not mad at me. Something else is going on, right? And then what that shows is I'm more concerned about you than I am concerned about my own feelings and my own self, right? Because I'm dead, right? I'm dead in Christ. It's not I who live. It's Christ that lives within me. I know that's a tough thing to think about, guys, but maybe a little much for Wednesday night. I don't know. You know what? I think our church is successful because we do have strong families. And I think we have something to offer Brownwood as they look at our church. And one of the things we can do as you guys are developing your families and you're strengthening your families and you're listening to the pastors teach and you're taking that in and maybe you're listening to other pastors and that's fine. You know, there's some great material out there and you're going to life group and you're learning how to strengthen your family as you're doing that. One of the most important things that we can do as a family is be consistent. Be consistent. You know, kids, young kids too, they need consistency. Man, if you're putting that kid to bed at, you know, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and you're just and dragging him, that kid's going to be grumpy. Been there, done that, right? Sometimes you can't help it. You get out of that. But we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent with our training. We need to be consistent with what we're saying to each other. We need to be consistent how we treat one another. James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, we must be those who never need to verify our speech as truthful by swearing by the heavens or the earth or any other oath. But instead, we must be so full of integrity that our yes or no is convincing enough and we do not stumble into hypocrisy. When you tell your wife, yes, I'm going to do this, do it. When you tell your son, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And he does it again, don't give him another chance. Because you know, you're really teaching you're not a man of your word. And that's hard to do. The first time I had to do that, I was like, do I really have to do this, Angela? You told him if he did that, he was getting a spanking. And I had to do it. Right? It's being consistent. And I'm not saying, I'm not getting on the spanking your child. Well, however you run your family, do it consistently. Why? Because it brings peace and unity and safety in that home. That if you say, this is the way it is, make it that way. Don't have your kid second guessing or your wife or, you know, your cousin saying, well, we don't know what they're doing. There's just, you know, it's craziness. No. Peace. Order. God is a God of order, not disorder. That's what Scripture says. We want our families in order. He commands us to have our families in order. And being consistent is a good thing. It is a very good thing. Right? You let your yes be yes and your no, no. And we're going to do this and we're not going to do that. And you let it be so, right? And your kids will honor you for it one day because they say, my dad is a man of his word. My mom was a woman of her word. And when she said we're going to do this, we did it, right? And here's the big deal. Be consistent in this too. And this is hard. And we've both had to do it. If you mess up, fess up to your kids. Fess up to each other. Fess up to that family member, whoever it is, right? Fess up. Be consistent, right? Get that family strong that nothing can tear it apart. And then what's cool, guys, is that bleeds into it. Just bleeds into this family, right? And I'm not just saying this because I'm the life group pastor, but life groups are families. That's why we're doing this. Strong, healthy life groups, those people become family. And they strengthen one another. They lift each other up. Right? They bring peace to whatever situation that is. So here's the deal. We're all part of a family. You're part of this family. You're part of your immediate family. Take what you've been given and develop it. Take the grace you've been given. Let the Holy Spirit stir that up and you learn. Learn. Do you know, when I was born, I was gifted with the ability to teach. But the first time I taught was bad. We're just being honest. Not good. Why? Because I had to develop what was given to me. And it's the same thing with you guys and our families as we're filling our roles. We're going to take what we've been given, develop it, learn. Learn from God. When you make a mistake, repent. Be consistent. Right? And we're going to bring peace to that home. And what's so cool about that is God will command a blessing on that home. Command it. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand on your feet.